Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean.
Thank you, Ben McKay. Welcome to another episode. If this is your first time listening to the show, then welcome. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, and TikTok as well on Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight, I'll welcome back Troy Makepeace and Marnie Cohen to the show to preview our all-important game coming up against the Hawks on Sunday. I believe it's our best opportunity to win a game for a while. It might be ignorance or confidence. I'm not too sure. You can make up your mind on that. Probably a bit of both, to be honest with you. But there's plenty to discuss and preview. So let's get straight into it and bring on Troy and Marnie to the show right now.
Welcome back to the show once again. Now, we are here to preview a game coming up against the Hawks on Sunday. But before we do that, Marnie, I did see you get a photo with Hugh Greenwood yesterday. Now, explain to all the listeners how that happened, and did you give the boys any advice and possibly how to win a game?
So, yes, I did see Hugh Greenwood last night, and most of the team. We had a sponsors night last night, which was really fun. And Hugh and I pretty much were on the same table. We sat next to each other and pretty much just inseparable for 3 hours, just having a yarn, which was obviously a really, really special moment for me, being Hugh's pretty much number one fan, and we've now agreed PR person as well. So there you go. Yeah. Look, we had a lot of fun. It was a really, really good night, and I think the energy in the room was great. Everyone was really high spirits, and everyone was really looking forward to the game on Sunday. You know, I wasn't giving advice. I definitely am the last person that should be giving advice on how to win a game, considering I have absolutely no experience in the job myself. But there were, like I said, a really good buzz and energy around the room, and, you know, a few of the players did seem quite confident about Sunday's game. So, you know, I'm going to take that and run with it, and, you know, hopefully it translates out in the field on Sunday.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. No, look, even we'll get to the Hawks preview soon, but even I'm feeling confident. So I don't know what's wrong with me. I got a new coffee machine today, so maybe I've had a bit too much caffeine and I'm a bit too excited. So I'm not too sure, but we'll move on. And Troy, I want to talk to you about some of our veterans that have come under scrutiny lately. Beloved North Melbourne legend and former teammate of yours, David King, has pretty much called for the veterans maybe to step aside. Same words like maybe the game has gone past Jack Siebel. We've seen Todd Goldstein get dropped for Tristan Cherry in the last couple of weeks. Liam Shields is on the extended bench this week. Aaron Hall's been in our team. Is it time we just cut bait with some of these players and give more opportunities to young guys? Because we aren't winning anyways, I guess.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation that everyone would be having at this stage of our season, particularly with how we've been going as well, is finding that balance of trying to win games and trying to instill some form of winning culture, but also trying to manage. Obviously, the veterans, as you mentioned, there has to be a transition. It's got to be transition. It needs to be done right. I think we've failed in the past in doing that. So I think there's a bit of caution there about how we go about it and what stage or what phase we take. So it's a difficult conversation to have, and I do believe that it's getting to that time that we need to sort of have those conversations and look at, you know, who's going to be there for hopefully the next, you know, 8 to 10 years and carry us forward. And those players you mentioned, like, you know, Zeebs has been awesome for our footy club, an awesome leader, and not only by how he talks obviously, but by his actions on the field as well. So that's going to be one of those uncomfortable conversations that needs to be had at some stage. Our defense has sort of not really stood up real well. Obviously Zeebs is down there, Elmac's come under a bit of scrutiny, particularly in his last few games. And as you mentioned, Aaron Hall as well sort of divides opinions when it comes to him. So, yeah, it is that that phase, and then you got to look at who's coming in. I think, you know, for those particular guys, the guys that we would like to have in there haven't been available through injury, so they're starting to become available. So the intensity for that conversation is certainly ramped up over the last couple of weeks, and you know, potentially we're going to see that this weekend. Obviously, Goda and Archer are named on that extended bench as well. So you know, Lockie Young come in last week, so and named on the field, so he will stay in. So there is that potential there. We might see that transition that you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Marnie, you've been a staunch supporter of Jack Zeebel, and I guess him and Goldie are the main two players that are really close to the end, I guess. Is it better to just tell them now that we are looking to go a different direction next year and we can, you know, give you a farewell game? Or should we still be looking to keep those players on? Because we've had been in a similar situation before and had to make decisions on Boomer Harvey, Petrie, Dalciano, Ferrito back in 2016. What do you think?
I mean, I've definitely come on this podcast throughout this year and have defended both of those players, you know, pillar to post. I still think that Goldstein in particular, I still think there is a role that he can play next year. I would still offer Goldstein one more year if he wanted it. I actually think that if we decided not to offer him a year, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually went elsewhere if someone else offered him a contract for a year. I still think he has really good football in him. I'm personally, and I've said this a few times, I'm personally still not sold on Cherry. I know we had this conversation a few weeks ago about how important that ruck role is. And I think someone of Goldstein's capability, you know, he has such a big impact around the ground, not just in the ruck contest. I still think that there is a spot for him. Now, whether that's, you know, he and Cherry play week on, week off, whether he's still there to help Cherry with his development for an extra year, because I know I'm not sold on Cherry yet. And I know that I'm not alone in thinking that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to make judgments on the back of one very good VFL game 2 weeks ago and one okay game at AFL level last week. I need to see more, I think, at AFL level. And I think he should probably, now that he's fit, I think it is the right decision to play him for the rest of the year, unless his form is horribly wrong. But I still think that there is a role for Goldstein. Zeebel, I'm not so sure about. I'm not as confident about. He had a really great start to the year, and everyone could see he just looked really re-energized and rejuvenated. But as the year's gone on, it kind of looks like he's kind of gone downhill quite rapidly. It looks like he's really, really slowed down quite quickly, which is a shame. But I actually think that if he had been consistently performing at that level we saw in sort of the first maybe 8 to 10 rounds of the season, we wouldn't be having this conversation. 10 weeks ago, everyone was talking about how Zeebel should play on again next year. So I think that's probably a different conversation that needs to be had. I still think that, again, maybe you keep him on the list for one more year for depth. I think the other thing with Zeebel, and Troy touched on Luke McDonald just before, Simpkins went in and out of the side with injury and concussion this year, and McDonald's form hasn't really been that crash hot. So actually, Zeebel is such a fierce leader, and he guided the club throughout, you know, difficult period for a very, very long time. So, you know, maybe having him, and he is transitioning into that AFLW coaching role as well. So whether that is, you know, we try, you know, that they keep him around the club for the leadership aspect of it, you know, that's another conversation that can be had. So I think that both those players still offer something to the side. How much they offer and whether it's in an on-field or off-field capacity, that's the discussion that probably needs to be had before the end of the year. But for what it's worth, at the very least, I would offer Goldstein another year. Zeebel, probably a different story. But if he was also offered another year, I wouldn't be mad at it.
No, there's more than those two players. I mean, there's probably a few others there as well. I mean, you've got Ben Cunnington. Maybe they need to have he is contracted next year, but if he's just going to play reserves next year, then, yeah, I mean, we'll probably be happy to keep him for his best wishes, but I don't know if he wants to do it. Like Goldstein, I don't know if he wants to play reserves and be second fiddle ruck next year. So, I mean, it probably comes down to the individual just as much as it comes down to the club. Now, before we finish on veterans, we've had the announcement of Robbie Tarrant retiring today. 194 game career and 174 with North Melbourne. A shame he couldn't get to 200. But Troy, I think he was one of our best key position defenders we've had in a very long time. Sid Barker medalist in 2016, second in 2019, third in 2018. a very consistent performer under Brad Scott. Always got the number one forwards, the big bulky forwards. A player we could use right now, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, obviously he's had his injury troubles recently, but yeah, certainly the Robbie Tarrant of old, we would love to have that sort of player running around at the moment. And I think that's where the frustration comes in, is that although we were disappointed to lose Robbie to Richmond, we felt we had that transition in place with Mackay in there to be able to take on that role and be that type of player. And I still think Mackay can do that for us, especially now that Griffin Lowe's gone down, unfortunately, for the season. That type of player, they're very hard to come by, which is why clubs will be throwing a lot at Mackay to get his services. Because as we've seen, particularly with our club, trying to lock down those key position defensive posts are critical to really stabilise your back line. Fantastic career for Robbie Tarrant, and disappointing that he can't get to go out, in playing terms, but he's had a fantastic career and something he should be really proud of.
Oh, definitely. He was hampered by injury in his first few years, had a lot of shoulder problems, but for about 7-8 years, he was very consistent in keeping his body fit. And this year, I think injuries caught up with him again. Unfortunately, couldn't get a game for Richmond this year just through too many injuries. Marnie, any fond memories of Robbie Tarrant you remember?
Yeah, it was the reliability, I think, and you always knew what you were going to get with Robbie Tarrant. I think him missing out on an All-Australian Guernsey in 2016 that he won the Best and Fairest? He just had an incredible year, and that really is the North bias shining through, the fact that he didn't miss out on All-Australian. I think for me, he was... the way he just went about his footy week in, week out, he was very no frills. And he really just got the job done very, very well. I think I would have loved, I think all of us would have loved him to, stay at North and finish off his career at North. But I was reading some of the comments on the Richmond post today, and the way that the Richmond supporters have just really embraced him and, over the past couple of seasons and really, got around him has been a really beautiful thing. So he'll definitely one of the, as you said, Dean, I agree with you, one of the best keep defenders that we've had for a very, very long time, and just fond memories throughout that whole period.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my biggest and most fondest memory was, I think it was maybe 2020 or 2019 when we played the Bulldogs after the Bulldogs beat us on Good Friday, and Josh Bruce kicked his usual bag against us, and even quoted after the game saying he was going to have a good game, a good night when he was playing North. Then the next time we played them, and Josh Bruce came to the ground with a big smile, enormous and arrogant smile. Robbie Tarrant at the start of the game went straight to him and ruffled his feathers and got into a wrestling match with him and pretty much wiped the smile off his face straight away. And every contest, Tarrant made him earn it. And I think it was just great leadership. And that's what he was. Every player he played against, he made him earn their kicks. And, very hard to find those key position players. Very unlucky not to get an All-Australian appearance as well throughout his football career, because he was one of the best key position defenders there for a long time. And good luck to him for life after football. Troy, we've started this rebuild at the end of 2020. I think we've won 11 of the last 77 games and been blown out in some games as well, like I just mentioned there. Now, you're a supporter of the club you played at. Are you frustrated we aren't further along in our rebuild than what we are? I mean, 11 wins in the last 3.5 years is pretty damning stuff, and he's not good enough for a football club, is it?
No, absolutely. I'll be lying if I said I wasn't frustrated, and I think every North Melbourne supporter will be frustrated that we're not further along. There's been a very extremely slow burn. It's disappointing, but you just got to front up every week, don't you? As we do, and you cop the crap that we get from the media. You cop the crap we get from supporters and rival supporters and all that sort of stuff. Sometimes our own supporters, and you just got to move on and know that there is a corner somewhere that we're going to turn, and be good if that can start this week. Marnie, I think's mentioned before that the vibe around the club is still very good. I was fortunate enough to be there for the Father-Son Academy Day with two of my boys, and the vibe was fantastic down there. Like, it was, you wouldn't think we were in the situation we're in, whether that's just a facade or not, but it certainly doesn't equate to the performances we've been putting up on the field. And, you know, talking to some of the players, and they're just as frustrated as what we are, and as disappointed as some of the efforts and some of the results that have gone away as well. So, but yeah, in terms of, and I know you can't put too much on vibe, but it's got to stand for something at least, that, you know, that even the playing group and the people or staff around the club know that something's brewing. And yeah, hopefully it's just a matter of time before we start seeing that come.
Yeah, well said. Marnie, it's fair to say you're the most passionate North supporter, or one of them, and you were frustrated last week with another big loss. It's getting really tough each week, isn't it, trying to find the small wins?
It is really frustrating, and I think the most disappointing part of the loss against Geelong is that, you know, we're sitting at the end of the bye. Going into the bye after we lost the Bulldogs, and we kind of had that really strong sort of 5 to 6 game patch where it really looked like that, you know, it kind of felt like everything just clicked and everything was all of a sudden just making sense. And then it was evaporated within 2 weeks. We had a belting against Adelaide and a belting against Geelong. Now, I understand that playing Adelaide and Geelong in Geelong are two very difficult asks, but, you know, to come out and, you know, we pretty much raised, you know, it's almost like we raised the white flag fairly quickly in both of those games. I understand. I watched the second half of the Geelong game. I'll be completely honest with you. I turned it off at halftime. I couldn't actually watch anymore, to be honest. And I understand that the game, we sort of matched them in the second half, but, you know, for a game to be over so quickly, it's so disappointing. And it's really hard to sit here as a supporter. And I understand that every time we seem to stand back up and on our two feet, we get knocked back down again. And I know that, you know, when Clarko was appointed as coach, you know, last year, it kind of looked like, okay, maybe the wheels are turning now. Maybe, you know, we're starting to get back on the up. And before we know it, you know, he's taken leave from the club. And, you know, then there's word that he's coming back. And then we lose Griffin Logue. And, you know, there's still question marks around Mackay's future. And it's just, you kind of just feel like there's this curse almost on the club that, you know, you just can't. It just feels like every time we get back up, we get knocked down again. And we are known as the battlers, and we are known as, you know, we'll just keep fighting and fighting. I know that while it's frustrating, you know, I will always keep supporting the club because it's the hope, you know, that kind of keeps you hanging on. And it is the memory of how you felt at the end of that Richmond game we won last year, and we beat West Coast at the start of this year. Like, it's actually at this point where it's like euphoric. Like, it's just, those are the moments that you live for, and you really hope that, in a football context anyway, and you just hope that you get to see those brighter days again and more, you know, more often. And I really do believe that that time is coming. It's just hard to know when it is. And I think, you know, for me on Sunday, I watch every game, you know, and I don't feel as connected to a game if I'm watching it on TV as when I'm there. But to just sit there but halftime and just actually think, I can't watch this anymore, that upsets me. But, you know, you still front up the next week and you pull yourself back up. And, you know, I think, it's just sad, really, and it sucks. But, you know, you hang on, and it's the hope that gets you through week to week. And, you know, it's that hope that, you know, we'll get back to where we belong sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and you've got to have faith that this will turn around eventually. So, yeah, and it is tough. Some weeks are a lot tougher than others. Sometimes it catches up with you. And, yeah, I could sense on social media last Sunday that a lot of supporters were frustrated. And you do get emotional in the moment when, you know, things, yeah, aren't really going according to the plan that you hoped. And you're 10 goals down at half time, and you've seen your script before. You sort of think, well, when's this ever going to turn? Like you said, I mentioned soon when we talk about Hawthorne, I think, you know, it could change this week. So I'm confident for some reason. Well, we'll move to the positive of last week, and it has to be Cooper Harvey on debut. Now, Troy, I feel really old because I was at Brent Harvey's first ever game in 1996 against Richmond. Now, I'm watching his son play. But he looks like a classy half forward, doesn't he? Took 5 contested marks in the game and kicked a goal at the end of the game to finish with a decent debut. How did you see it?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. He really steeled himself for that game and just wanted to, you know, prove to people that, you know, it's not just the name that's got him where he is. You know, the North followers would have been watching, maybe not all the time, but watching some snippets of highlights or some, you know, quarters here and there of the VFL and seeing the quality that he's produced over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, just to have that output in what was a down day for the footy club was great for Boomer and the family. You know, to have that small win that you spoke about. One thing that really surprised me was, I don't know if it should be surprised me, but when I was at the Father Son Academy, he's actually really solid young fella, yeah. And you know, really got a good frame for footy, and which I guess surprised me in the sense that, you know, as you mentioned, you were there when Boomer played his first game, and I was around when Boomer when Cooper, you know, came to the world and watched him grow or start his life at the footy club, and you know, sort of picture him as this little kid, but he's certainly not the case. That's for sure. Got a really good body, really good frame for and got a real awareness about where he needs to be and different stages of the ground. And yeah, that was a fantastic goal that he kicked as well. Would have had a lot of nerves going through the body. So yeah, it was fantastic to watch. And they're those, you know, and we've said it, I think we've said it a few times this year, they're those little wins that we like to see. But yeah, as you're probably all aware, we're sick of saying we like seeing these little wins. We want to see the big wins and on the scoreboard and so we can all celebrate together and, you know, not just ride on the coattails of these, you know, young fellas coming through that can hopefully get us to where we need to be. But yeah, it was a great result for Cooper and great to see for the family.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it would have been a bit of a surreal moment for you, especially playing with his old man and then seeing him, he's seen his son growing up as well. You probably would have seen him when he was, you know, 2 or 3 years old and running around and so forth. So, and like you said, he's quite a solid unit. His old man was quite a solid unit, but when he first debuted when he was a skinny little 18-year-old, he was very small and then, you know, put on size during the course of his career. But he's already got a bit of size about him, which is, you know, he's got a very mature body for an 18-year-old. And, you know, look, it's great to see. Marnie, I think what I liked about him as well was he was always looking to be proactive. He made mistakes, but made good mistakes of trying to play on quick or move the ball with pace down a corridor, which I really like. But he's something to smile about, isn't he? Like him, Sheasel, Wardlaw. I mean, you know, we talk about hope, but those three players, you know, for the future, you know, really give us a lot of hope.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's the romance that's attached to the, you know, to Cooper and Boomer and, you know, for every North diehard who's, you know, watched Boomer play and had the pleasure of watching him play, to obviously see Coop come through the ranks. And like you said, Dean, he was definitely really proactive, just trying to generate something. And that is something that, you know, a lot of players, you know, don't necessarily have when they first come into AFL level. So it was fabulous to see him just really wanting to get involved and really make a mark in his debut game. And as you said, definitely, you know, he and Harry and Wardlaw, they're definitely three of quite a few that, you know, really, really, you know, positive bright lights for the future. You know, there's a few, Goda and Archer are both named on the bench this week, and, you know, hopefully we can get, you know, both of them back into the side sooner rather than later. Because they're, you know, two others who are, you know, will really drive that ship, you know, hopefully towards our next surge up the ladder. And even, you know, the young guys who have been in there for, you know, a few years now. I mean, LDU obviously is back, has been back in the side as well. Simkin, I know, will miss again through concussion. But these guys are all still really young. And, you know, the core, I know we spoke about veterans earlier, and there's a few that, you know, I'm sure we'll have conversations with the club before the end of the year, but most of the guys driving this ship now are really young guys and guys that, you know, you can have in your side for the next 8, 10, 12 seasons. And you can really build a solid foundation from. So I think, you know, I've just gone on this whole 5-minute round about how, you know, the current state is quite depressing and, you know, hopefully we do start to see, you know, things turn around in the near future. But, you know, it's still come, you know, but when you take a step back and, you know, you have a look at the guys who are driving the ship, I mean, they're all fantastic players and they're all young and they're all invested in the club and they want to be there and they're excited about the future. And that is what helps us as supporters remain excited about the future too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we might as well go to team changes. We'll transition to that. Troy, Curtis Taylor, Daniel Howe, George Wardlaw, Jackson Archer, Josh Goda, Liam Shields coming for Simpkin, concussion, Logue, unfortunately, ACL, and Flynn Perez, a knee injury as well. I'm not too sure what the extent of that is, but he's a player that isn't getting much luck. What do you think about those changes? I mean, George Wardlaw is the only one that's definitely in. The other players are on the extended bench. Happy with those changes?
Yeah, we're obviously not going to find out the final makeup of that until I think it's tomorrow night and see what the final 22 we're going to go with. But definitely Wardlaw, that's a no-brainer. I think with... I look at, you know, I've spoken about our backline already tonight, and it's sort of a bone of contention with a lot of supporters on social media. You look at, obviously, Lachie Young's in, and you've got Aiden Corr and, obviously, Mackay. Thomas played across halfback, she's all across halfback. You know, for the likes of those players, we want to get them up the field as well. I don't mind them being in the halfback line for periods. If you're going to get them up around the ball, you need some replacements. And the two that stand out to me would be Goda and Archer to come in and allow to free up Sheasel and Thomas through the midfield and maybe up in the forward line. So there, I would see those two. I would like to see those two play with Wardlaw. The fourth one's a bit of a tricky one in terms of, you know, what we need. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. You know, can Daniel Howe play across halfback? I'm not sure. He will definitely provide run. The other thing I wanted to ask you guys about, particularly with the likes of Giesel and Thomas playing across the halfback line, I don't know if I've mentioned on Twitter or not, but a bit disappointing with our ball use coming out of our back line. I think we're giving the ball to the wrong players to kick and create and start our attacking forays from the back line. You got the likes of Taron Thomas and Harry Sheasel across the half back line. Why aren't we putting the ball in those hands as often as possible? Because we know they're going to use the ball more often than not, with all due respect, as opposed to the Ben Mackay and Aiden Corr, Luke McDonald, who, you know, let's be honest, they've turned the ball over quite a bit coming out of our back line. Basic fundamental skill errors, and then, you know, they're copying it themselves going the other way when we turn the ball over. So I think if you're going to play Taron Thomas and Sheasel across the half back line, you've got to get the ball in their hands as much as possible.
Yeah, Marnie, do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I actually think as well, in the second half of last year when I believe it was probably when Noble left and Pat Adams came into the frame, I thought that our most important defender was Lachie Young. I felt like he was the one directing traffic. I thought that he was the one who was kind of the man who was getting the ball out of our defensive 50. And I'd really like to see us try and move the ball through him a little bit more. I felt like it was really effective. I felt he's quite a good ball user. And the fact that it's taken so long for him to actually get back into the senior mind, to be honest. But for me, I definitely agree with that. And I would add Lachie Young to that mix as well, because I think that it worked so well in the second half of last year. And so for me, that's what makes the most sense. While we're talking about trying different players, you know, towards the back end of the year and trying different things, see what's working, what's not working, try different things within the game as well, you know. Clearly, I mean, Luke McDonald in particular under so many because he's just not, his execution of the ball's just been absolutely atrocious. Should be coding it. So definitely try something new. I mean, what are those guys in the back line for then? If you're not going to use them, you're not going to utilize them properly, what's the point in having a Sheasel or a Thomas, you know, playing across the halfback line? There is no point, because that's, you know, they're there for that reason. So yes, I definitely agree. And I would add Lachie Young into the mix. The other name I want to mention, which for me, again, is quite concerning, is that Callan Dawson is just not even in this picture. And for me, I'm sitting here thinking, we've lost Griffin Logue for 12 months. I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm losing confidence. The longer this goes on, I lose more confidence in Ben McKay staying. I feel like he's probably out the door already, if I'm completely honest. If that's the case, our backline next year is currently looking like Core, Bonner, McDonald, and then, I don't know, whatever happens to Zeebel. I mean, that's just makes me want to scream, to be honest. And I really liked what I saw from Callan Dawson on the back of, you know, not even a full preseason. I just don't understand why he hasn't even been considered to come in, at least give him a run. If you know, we're going to try, you know, XYZ players for the rest of the season, I would definitely, in the absence of Logue, give him a bit of a hit out as well. It just blows my mind that, you know, he's not even in the frame at this point.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this on last night's podcast. I was talking about him, and it is like you said, because I was about to ask you, Marnie, that I'm a bit surprised he hasn't been getting an opportunity, or hasn't been given an opportunity. I understand, because we've had Core, McKay, Zeebel, Logue in the back line, and that's probably hurt us as far as rebound goes, having all those four players. Now we've had to we've got to rejig that back line. There's no doubt about that. We've gone too top heavy in the past. Now Ben McKay's played his best football without Griffin Logue there, so we're hoping we can get that. And with the Ben McKay situation, we can match an offer, whether he likes it or not. And, you know, we've had players in the past like Tristan Sherry that have asked for a trade to St Kilda and then changed their mind and sort of said, all right, I'm happy to stick around. So it could be a similar situation with Ben McKay. I would only let him go unless it's a top three pick, to be honest with you. Anything else, I'll definitely look to keep him. So, like I said, we're going to have to rejig. And I think this week, Troy, we will have a lot more run from behind the ball, and they will try and use Sheasel. I think Thomas will play halfback predominantly this week. You've got a lot more depth in the midfield with George Wardlaw coming back. So, and Harry Sheasel, he's obviously a very good user of the ball. So, yeah, and Lachie Young, like you said, Marnie, I think he's been a bit stiff to not at least get an opportunity a few weeks ago. He's had a few little niggles in the reserves, which has kept him out. But, he's another player that's been on the outer for whatever reason. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens. Troy, are you a bit surprised they haven't gone with Callan Dawson this week as well?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because obviously, you know, you lose Griffin Logue. We have been caught out in the past, you know, being not having the ability to cover that. Callan Dawson certainly can fill that void. But in saying that, I don't mind going a little bit smaller as long as they go with players that can, one, beat their opponent at ground level. I think we've been torn up in that area when ball comes to ground. And two, use the ball once we win it, because I think part of our problem at the moment is because we're turning the ball over so badly is that our back line is caught out of position and a chase and tail, and, you know, and it's sort of the bring about their own undoing in a bit of the time. So we need players that can use the footy. So if that means we go a little bit smaller, but we've got run and carry and, you know, skill off the half-back flank, then I'm happy to go with that.
Oh, fair enough. Marnie, I've seen Callan Coleman-Jones named on the extended bench. Now, last 3 weeks, I think he's had four marks, hasn't had a scoring shot. We need more out of him because he's a big-name recruit on big money, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think the form that he kind of showed, obviously that 9-goal haul in the VFL, then he came back into the team and he, you know, had an immediate impact. Definitely need more from him, but I would still play him. I think that it alleviates a bit of pressure off Lachie as well by having CCJ playing that sort of second fiddle. I think, you know, he's only still played a handful of games. I think we have to remember And again, it's about, you know, if we, it's about thinking about, you know, 5-10 years down the track, and the more games we can get into him now, the better. So I think that for the team structure, I think the forward line has kind of functioned a lot better when he's been there too. So for me, the benefit that he has to the team as a whole in terms of structure, in terms of, you know, really alleviating some pressure off Larky as well, I would still play him. I think that he's got importance away from what he does individually. I'm not saying that he doesn't need to lift, but I think in terms of the team as a whole and the greater good, I still think he needs to play.
Last week was a different kettle of fish. I mean, I think Geelong had 33 of the first 40 inside 50s. He didn't get many opportunities last week, but at the end of the day, I mean, no one's going to feel sorry for him, and he's got to find a way to impact the contest and have an influence on the game. So, I think he'll play this week, but and we don't have many other options to come up through the reserves, unfortunately, that could take his spot at the moment until Charlie Conlon comes back, possibly. Now, the Hawks are just above us on the ladder and they have 2 games plus percentage, but I don't think we can catch them, even if we beat them this week. Now, the Hawks are one of the higher possession teams in the comp. They average 184 handballs a game, which is 18 more than next most in the competition. They like to run and carry and play fast, which certainly has its benefits, like against the Lions a few weeks ago at the MCG, and you can't score quick doing that. Our pressure has to be good from our forwards, doesn't it, Troy, for us to stop them playing their way? Because when we played them last time, they exposed us with their run and carry, particularly early in the game, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. You'd like to think that we'd be ready for that scenario this week. And, yeah, you mentioned forward pressure. It's got to be pressure right across the ground. Our mids have got to be putting immense pressure in the stoppage. I think they've been a bit off the last couple of weeks in terms of their clearances, impact at the contest, whereas previous to the bye, I think we've really sort of setting a bit of a standard in there, sort of dropped away a little bit in that area. You know, come up against some quality opposition, but if you want to be the best, you've got to match yourself up against the best. So, there's an opportunity this week to... I think it's a redemption game this week. I think the game down in Tassie where we played Hawthorn, we're coming off, two pretty good wins, but albeit against a depleted West Coast team, but a great win over in Fremantle against the Dockers, and I think the hopes were there that we'd continue on with a pretty good game against the Hawks, and we lowered our colours I think quite a bit in that game, didn't fly the flag for our coach, at that particular game as well, up against his old team. So, I think there's a real redemption. There's got to be a steelness amongst the playing group this week that, we don't leave any stone unturned, and we really take it right up to them for 4 quarters. And it's got to just be immense pressure. If our foundation, I've probably said this to you, you're probably sick of me saying this, Dean, I've said this on numerous occasions. Pressure's got to be number one. Tackling pressure's got to be number one, and everything else can flow from that. And I really think that we can lay the foundation in that area, particularly early this week. It's going to set the tone, and everyone gets up and about when you see a big tackle or a big chase down or immense pressure. Everyone's up and about, and the ball seems to be rolling your way. But yeah, we've got to go out and make it happen. It's not going to.
Yeah, I mean, we can. Yeah, 100%. And look, we can do pressure, but we just can't maintain it. Like last week, I think our pressure rating was 180 in the first half. In the third quarter, I think the scores were equal. I think it was 27 points each. And the pressure rating was 192. So it went up 12 points. Adelaide, first half, our pressure rating was off the charts. It was well over 200. I think it was close to 220 from memory. And it was quite even that first half. But we just fell away completely in that second half. So it's just about maintaining that pressure or trying to maintain that pressure. I understand you can't do it for 4 quarters because probably we're a young team and, you're going to tire and so forth. But, there's got to be important periods where you maintain that pressure and some periods where you can just chip it around and keep possession of the ball. Marnie, the Hawks midfield have Will Day, Newcomb, Warple, Connor Nash. Hardly players that will scare the life out of you. It's a big opportunity for our midfield to redeem ourselves this week, isn't it?
Absolutely. When we played the Hawks last time, I just don't think we gave them the respect they probably deserve. We've all watched Hawthorn throughout the year. And I think for me, they're similar, their season does align a similar way that ours has some parts of this year where, you know, they're not getting the result. The improvement is absolutely evident. I think this is really our best chance for a win. I know we have West Coast over in Perth in a few weeks' time, but that actually makes me really nervous, to be honest, because I think they'll be looking at us thinking, yep, this is our chance to get a win on the board. I think it'd be so good for morale. I think it would be so good for, you know, everyone involved with the club, from the supporters to the coaches to the players, of course. So I definitely think we really need to knuckle down, and we really need to focus. And, you know, we can't walking in there, you know, confident and feeling good is one thing, but thinking that we can't, you know, we can just sort of rock up and get the job anymore. We've really got to put the, as you guys have both said, you know, put the pressure on from the start, be able to maintain it. One thing that has been really impressive over the last couple of weeks is the fact that we've been on from the get-go, in a few games, you know, in that 5-6 week patch leading into the bye. You know, we'd let teams get out to a 2-3 goal lead, and then we'd be looking at clawing our way back into the game. And while we had been really competitive and we'd taken it up to quite a few sides, you know, you just kind of sit here and wonder, oh, had we had the fast start, you know, would we actually have won the game? And maybe so in a couple of those instances. So, you know, we have got out to a really good start against both Adelaide and Geelong. And while obviously the results hadn't gone our way, that is one thing that I think has been really, really pleasing from my perspective anyway over the past fortnight. So that's one thing I'd also really be trying to replicate again, but just hopefully, you know, get on to the fast start and, you know, be on from the opening bounds, and then hopefully carry that out across the four quarters.
Yeah, we've generally shown if we're in the game within half time, we generally can, you know, put in a competitive performance, and we stay in a contest. You know, I guess, you know, Sydney Swans and Essendon are, you know, probably more recent ones where we've done that. So, yeah, it's just about maintaining. Like, we did start off okay last week, which I found bizarre. We, you know, first 10 minutes of the game, we're up 12-8, and then it just completely fell apart, especially in the midfield where we got killed in the clearances. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it comes down to belief. I'm not too sure what it is at the moment. I guess if Troy knew or you knew Marnie, we'd all be millionaires and, you know, we wouldn't be in his predicament, I guess. But, yeah, it is what it is. Troy, the Hawks don't have a lot of depth in the forward line. Luke Brewster's kicked 28 goals this year. He's back this week. Mitch Lewis has kicked 24, and then Fergus Green has kicked 15. They've scored less points than North this year, but have conceded a lot less as well. They don't have many small forwards in form, which is good because small forwards are killing us this year. I think Chad Wingard's only kicked 4 goals in 9 games. I think this is a good opportunity for Luke McDonald to find some form, and even a Lockie Young to show his worth in the team and make a point that he belongs to, you know, at the club in 2024 and beyond. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the small forwards that are out of form that actually worry me, Dean, because, you know, Geelong are a great side, and I don't want to sound like disrespectful, but Stengel's not one that jumps up as, you know, in the top couple of players that you look at as players that you want to stop. He's come out and he's kicked, 4 or 5 goals. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but there's other players in that team that you would look at and go, we need to stop him, and him. So that worries me. The small forwards of Adelaide got a hold of us as well, as have small forwards you know, in previous weeks to that. So teams that are out of form that we come up against, I am greatly concerned about. And players that have been out of form and in the media about being under pressure that come up against us, they're players that I worry about as well. So, if there's anyone out of form and looking to get back into the game, I worry that when they come up against us, you know, Bruce, you mentioned earlier, you know, 15 goals against us, what was that, last year or something like that, and didn't do a great deal for, now he's playing in the back line. So, that's why I wouldn't mind having the likes of Archer and Goda, players that can defend at ground level. I worry that Lukey McDonald doesn't have the leg speed to go with smalls. I think Aiden Corr on a couple of occasions has been caught out in a bit of no man's land, worrying about whether he should contest a spoil or stay at ground level, gets caught in the middle and the ball falls to the ground to his opponent. So we need players that can defend at ground level. So, yeah, I worry about their small forwards, even though you think or you say that they might be out of form or players that we haven't really heard much about over the last few weeks. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, but I think if we can get our defensive structure right, get our ball use off the half-back line right, and get our pressure right up there, we're a massive chance.
Yeah. Marnie, I'm feeling confident we can get over the line here. Am I stupid to think that after 14 losses in a row, and especially after last 2 weeks, that we're a big chance to win this week?
No, I agree with you. I think the penny has to drop at some point. And I don't believe that form that we showed leading up to the bye was something that we'll never see again, or a sugar hit, you know, with Ratten stepping in as a caretaker coach. I just think that we've got the work in and we should really get the result here. Like I said before, I think this is our best shot for a win for the rest of the year, and I really hope that we see what an opportunity this is. And, you know, judging by the mood last night, it seems like a lot of players do have that belief and really think that maybe this could be our week as well. So I'm really hoping that, you know, it is. And you know, we all finally kind of get that win we've been longing for. It feels like a very, very long time since that controversial win over in the West against Fremantle. But, you know, if we play our best football and we really bring, you know, we really come to play, I think we're every chance to take the points.
Yeah, definitely. Troy, I mean, we've talked about pressure and you've talked about pressure, but do you have belief and confidence that we can get the win this week?
Yes, I do, mate. In the past, you've asked me that question and I've said, yes, well, I think we can get the win, but I've actually gone against us in my footy tipping. I've tipped us this week and I think we're a really good chance. And like I said, I think it's a bit of a redemption game for the loss we copped against them earlier in the year. And I really hope the players think that way as well and steel themselves for a big game. So, yeah, I do think we can win and we'll win. And you're going to have a great conversation next week with whoever's on your podcast, mate.
Yeah, well, if you're free next Thursday, I might as well hit you up now, Troy, so we can talk about it. So, in saying all that, Marnie, what's your final prediction for the game?
I think we'll win, and I think I'm hoping it'll be somewhat comfortable. I'd really like us to, you know, maybe 3 or 4 goals, give us something to smile about, and we've had little things to smile about all throughout the year, but ultimately football's about winning, And that's what I think we should be able to do on Sunday.
Well, let's hope so. Troy, your final prediction in saying all that?
Yeah, I agree with Marnie. A 3 or 4 goal win will be great. It'll be good to be in a comfortable-ish position as the time's ticking down in the last quarter, where we can just soak up the atmosphere and just enjoy the last few minutes. So no pressure and, you know, no controversy or concerns about controversy would be really nice.
Yeah, I remember those days in the late 90s and early 2000s, even when you were playing, Troy, we did win a lot of games where it was quite comfortable and you enjoyed the last 40. You just sat back and enjoyed, getting those nice, you know, 6-7 goal wins. I'd like to get that feeling once again because it's been a long time. So, yeah, but it is what it is. Marnie, any final messages for all your fans out there?
No, just thanks for having me, Dean and Troy. It was great to chat, as always.
That sounds good. What about you, Troy? Any final messages to supporters out there before I leave you in peace?
No, just keep sticking with us. You know, every unfortunate loss, we're closer to a victory. So we'll get there.
That's coming from a North Melbourne and Troy Maker, everybody. So, yeah, stick with it. Marnie, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Troy, always a pleasure, mate, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon as well.
Good on you, Dean. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, guys.
So thank you very much to Marnie and Troy for coming on the show tonight. And that's it for tonight's show. Once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments you all put in the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform use as well, that would be awesome. I'll probably be back next week, early next week, Monday or Tuesday, to review our performance against the Hawks from the weekend. Like I said, best opportunity to win a game. Yeah, we all feel pretty confident, me, Marnie and Troy, for some stupid reason. So, yeah, we'll see how we go with that, I guess. So, in saying all that, I will leave a shout-out to Bailey Tyson at Instagram. And that's it. Bye for now, and go Roos.